especially followers of the ministry of William Branham, and a lot of some of these so-called holiness-believing churches, they cause a lot of problem in the area of this marriage and divorce. They cause a lot of problem, and it is all because of their myopic insight into what the scriptures say. If you don't understand grace, you can't preach salvation. If you don't understand mercy, you can't preach restitution. You must understand mercy. If not, you won't be able to preach forgiveness. And you must understand the law of Christ. You must understand what Christianity is. That there are problems that follow you as you come into Christ. So, what does the Bible say to handle such problems? Especially in the area of marriage. As an unbeliever, you live a certain lifestyle with a lot of attachments to you. That when you are now a Christian, there are some that you will detach yourself from. But there are some that, like you can't detach yourself. It will follow you till you go heaven. A Christian should not marry more than one wife. But you married, legally married, several women, 3-4 wives. Now you've seen the light. They are no property that you can take and throw away. So you cannot tell a man, pick only one and put the rest away. So where? And there is a solution for that in the Bible. How you should treat such a case. And there is also solution. Now you are an unbeliever. You marry, you know, the way you jam yourselves out there. Christ was not in you. Then one of you now finds Christ. And the other one say, I know too. Then he leaves. And of course, that one that leaves you, she's not going to stay single. The man is not going to stay single. He's going to marry another person. Then here you are. A preacher will tell you, once you have married before, you can't marry again. And that is your cross. That is your cross. So I will remain. Imagine that a 32-year-old young man married a few years back. Still 32 or maybe 30 years old. Then the woman say, lie. Then take off. Go back to her former boyfriend. Go marry there. Then your pastor will tell you, you can't remarry because your wife is still alive. She's alive where? In the arms of another man. Then he's telling you that lie, you can't marry. That is intermessage preachers for you. You cannot marry, lie, you cannot marry. Lie. Even the pastor giving you that type of counsel is wicked because if he is the one, will he give that type of counsel to himself? So wicked. So the man now is sentenced to perpetual celibacy. Reverend Father. Amen. That is wrong. That is wrong. Praise the Lord. Do you even know that in Deuteronomy 24 or so, the first 3 verses there, where the law was given. Even now, you as a believer now, you marry a woman. And for any reason, you even put away the woman. The woman leaves you, goes and marries another man. And anything else happens. And then he leaves that man. Maybe the man die or something. And then decides to come back to her old love. The Bible says you cannot receive her again. Why? Because she has gone to pollute herself. Remember that you can put away a woman if you find her in fornication. Now, he lives with another man. You can't have her back. Now, if you cannot have her back, it simply means, church, listen, marriage is a bond, it's an agreement. It's a contract. When you break that vow, you have broken what joins you together. You now go and take yourself another partner. That is the Bible. Thank you. Femi Ikutiyinu from United Kingdom. Shalom, Pastor. How relevant is the parable of a steward man in Luke 16:1-8 to our Christian life? Can I answer that? Luke 16, verse, the parable. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lost debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 4 score. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Praise the Lord. Okay. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Finally, no servant can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you are asking how relevant it is to the Christian world. Christ is just speaking wisdom. You are either here or you are here. Amen. You must find yourself somewhere. That's what he's saying. Because a reckoning time is coming. Everyone shall stand and give account of himself. And you know, every one of us, you know that what you are living, the type of lifestyle you are living, you will either make it in a rapture or not. So since you know, if the rapture will strike, you will not go. He says that the wisest thing for you to do is begin to prepare, so that when you are left here, you will have people that you will be able to associate with. The unbelievers, when Christ will come to collect his own and go. If not, you are here. You are abusing everybody. You are abusing everybody. Meanwhile, you are not living your own life worthy of the gospel. So by the time it's gone, everybody, those prostitutes that used to see you, sister, where not they wear a ring, not they palm your hair, where not they wear cross, no gutter, where not they wear all those things, where then they wear, you say, holy, holy, holy. Meanwhile, inside of you, you were worse than devil. Their rapture strikes, then you are coming to them. They will also reject you. So you have nowhere to stand. And he said that that is how the children of this world, that is how they live their life. They are wise. They live a life so that they don't lose both sides. That is the advice he's given. Praise the Lord. I think it's just wisdom he was giving us. To stress that you are either here fully or you are not. You cannot serve God and mammon. That is the conclusion of the matter. Thank you. A call? A call coming in. Sister Faith from Bayelsa, you're on air. Let's hear you.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you. We are hearing your question.
Okay. A sister from my is close to me. She told me that their pastor, their general overseer, said that if they travel to anywhere and there is no Christian church in that place they travel to, if they see a Muslim, at a Muslim church, they should go inside that Muslim church and worship. That Muslims are doing the right thing. And this sister is worshiping in Tuesday. And she said that is what their general overseer taught them. And we are arguing, how can that kind of thing be? Say they are following the instruction of God. Even Christians are the ones messing up the instruction of God. I said, no, the word of God says we cannot mix up with them. She said, no, that is what their Jew said. So if they go anywhere that is no Christian church and they see Muslims, they should go and worship there. So, sir, how can this thing be? I want to know, because since I heard this thing, it is disturbing my mind.
Thank you, Sister Faith from Bayelsa State. When it comes to choosing, I'm very, very careful. Because they are our very good neighbors here. And we want to be very good neighbors. And God has ordained that we shall remain neighbors forever. Praise God. I think, Sister Faith, I will disagree with whoever told you. If I know the general overseer of that church, I know that he will not even let his members go to other churches. So, because except you are a choosing, you cannot be heaven at last. And if I follow what they teach, such a man will not tell you that if you go and there is no Christian church around, or there is no choosing, that you can go to even a mosque around and worship God, that they are worshiping the same, we are worshiping the same God. I will advise that you confirm that by writing them. Then if they reply you that yes, that is the stand of the church, then come back to me and I will tell them that they are wrong. I will tell them that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the creator of the heavens and the earth except by me, Jesus. And the Bible said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Praise the Lord. So if they confirm, this is what I will tell them. But I am not telling them that yet, until we hear their reply. Thank you very much. The next person.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Sir, after the rapture, in Revelation chapter 11, the Bible told us about when God will raise two prophets going to minister to the Jews. The Antichrist will be annoyed and kill those two prophets. Now, in verse 9, I want to know. It says, and they of the people and kindred. So, in when they kill those two prophets, in verse 9, it says, and they of all the people and kindred and tongues and nation shall see their dead body 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. So I want to know that word, kindred and nations will see the dead body lying on the floor. I want to know, did God want to do any other work with, is there going to have a spiritual eyes to be watching those people wherever they are? Or is it by a gadget? Is that verse 9 fulfilled? Or God is going to do another work during that period?
Your question is, how will they be seen? The war that is going on by ISIL and everybody and Syria and everywhere, was the world not seeing what is happening? When they play football, you know, they watch us here. Which kind of question did they ask?
Okay.
If they had asked this question 200 years ago, then we will say the technology of television was not there. Satellite now has made it possible. Even as you are standing here now, somebody can see you.
Okay, that is
look at us now. They are watching us all over the world now. So they will see them on the streets.
Okay, that is the fulfilling
of Jerusalem. God okay. Bless you.
The second one, sir. Now, we are made to understand that baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost is not acceptable. In fact, whether it's by your mansion, God will not accept it. Now, here, also in this ministry, I see why joining couples to seal the marriage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the other side, they join couples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I want to know if that pronouncement is it acceptable by God.
Which pronouncement?
Of joining couples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, Colossians 3, verse 17. What does it say? Let's read it. And whatsoever, it includes joining marriage, isn't it? You do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Which name? God bless you. From Gabon. Brother Smart from Gabon. Shalom, Pastor. Please explain to me Revelation 14, verse 6, 7, and 9. Revelation 14. When you ask such question, it's too wide. Explain to me. Some people send that kind of question to me. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 14. Verse 6 and what? 7 and verse. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, that's verse 9, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Which explanation do you want? What is confusing there? Remember that by chapter 13, they had taken the mark. That means the next thing you are waiting for is judgment. Because by the time you take the mark, the saints of God have gone and they have already spent about 3.5 years already after the rapture. The last 3.5 years is the time of the tribulation where you must take the mark or you will not be allowed to buy or sell. And many will submit themselves to take the mark. And all those who take that mark, Christ will be coming with his saints on the day of the Lord. There are those that will face the indignation. There are those that will face the judgment that is coming. So, important thing there is that you don't get to a stage where you will submit yourself to take the mark by making your calling and election sure. Thank you. Ginika from River State. Let's hear you. You're on air.
Hello. Yeah, my question is, I'm an Anglican. And an Anglican, with our brethren and our bishop, they put on staff in their head during church service. And I have asked the question. They say, in Levite is the order they gave them to test as a reverend. So they have asked me to go and read Leviticus. I have read, I did not find it. So I have read a place that says the glory of a woman is the husband in the church. So therefore a woman must cover her head. Then I now ask, is our glory now going to our reverend? As a man too, I am. So I need a clarification, sir.
Praise the Lord.
It's right for them to cover their head in the church service.
Okay, Ginika, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Okay. You are Anglican and you are saying your priest put cap on the head. Your bishop put cap on the head. Pentecostal bishops too, they put it. Catholics, they put it. And because some of them are red cap chiefs. Let me quickly tell you. These are some of the things we speak and they call us critics. Listen. There is we have different religions on earth. And let me quickly tell you that Even Muslims, they quote Bible. They agree with the story of Abraham and Ishmael. They hold on to the Old Testament. It is the New Testament that they are confused about. Can I tell you also that the Rosicrucian Amok, they also quote Bible. That most religions on earth quote Bible. Now, there is the Catholic religion. There is the Anglican religion. Praise the Lord. And whatever is the practice of your religion, that is what your religion is. There is freedom of religion. But when you now try to make it look like a Christian practice, then we that are Christians, we will tell you it has nothing to do with Christianity. Nothing like that. Praise the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, the Grace Age, There is no more office of a priest as in the order of Aaron. Why? Because every Christian now, man or woman, we are of the royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. We are of the royal priesthood. And our high priest, what is his name? Jesus is our high priest. Praise the Lord. So if anybody says he's a priest in the order of the Levites, it is his religion, not Christianity. And so, our own religion, our own leaders, they are in the fivefold ministry. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11, that is where the Christian leadership is. Anything beyond that is not Christianity. And our own leadership is not in the order of the Levites, priests. Therefore, no specification of dress is given to us while we occupy our office of leadership. That is why our master, even the high priest, while he was in his earthly ministry, among only 12 disciples, he was so much mixed among them, they could not identify him. They had to bring an insider to identify him. Therefore, all these attempts of hierarchy, from this level, you reach this level, you reach this level, then you become Ak and become senior Ak. It is their religion. It has nothing to do with Christianity. No Bible base in this grace age. And church, listen. I am not quarreling with it. We have freedom of religion. But it is when you bring it to Christianity, then we that are Christians, we will tell you, lie, lie, that has no Bible base. Praise the Lord. Among Christians, the Bible tells us, when we come together like this for worship, the woman veil her hair. The man leave your hair. That is why we don't put anything in our head when we are worshiping. That's why the woman cover your hair when you are worshiping. That is the Christian tradition. Instituted by Apostle Paul, our apostle that brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Thank you very much. Yes?
So I asked God to direct me in what business, which area to go. So I have a revelation. So in that revelation, Bible quotation was given to me, John 15 verse 16 and John 10:30. And that is not what I was asking God. So I want you to explain to me. Because
sorry, the first scripture is what? John
15 verse 16.
John 15 verse 16. Can we read it? You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What again? Which scripture?
John 10 verse 30.
Eh?
John 10, 30.
John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and my Father are one. Finish. You were asking God for which business to do. And God is using those scriptures to tell you that you should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek me first. I am the one that have called you. So, the business first is seek me. Seek my business first. Then other things will be added. I think that is all the Lord was telling you.
Sir, that remain, that the fruit will remain, so that, I don't understand that.
No, I've summarized what the whole scripture is all about.
So, I should go and...
What you say is, seek him first, get converted first. Before you begin to ask him to give you what to do. Seek his face. Get the relationship with him first. And he will direct you what to do.
Thank
God
you,
bless
sir.
You.
Daddy, good morning, sir.
Yes. The last two people now.
Daddy, please, I want you to put me through. I'm not here to argue, but I believe what Brother Assembly believe. I have a problem with, I have a preacher saying that, let me use your wife as an example, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I saw mommy now. I say, mommy, good morning. I put it as a respect for maybe my background. The preacher says it's a wrong, that person is a witch.
To do what?
Maybe to say mommy, maybe someone that give me age of 7 years, I say mommy. He says that person is a witch, is possessed. Since that,
is that how should you greet the person?
Maybe you just say sister. You know, it was like argument. I say, with my background, does not tell me that I see somebody that give me 7 years, I say sister. It's like my age mate, I can call sister, but anybody that give me 7 to 10 years, I call you mommy. He said that person is witch and possessed. My second question, sir.
I make an answer the first one.
Okay, sir.
The person, is he an enter message preacher?
Yes, sir.
Is the person in Shomolu?
No, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when people have nothing to preach, they begin to talk nonsense. We are, first and foremost, you must take note that when you receive the Holy Ghost, it gives you a spirit of humility. And we come from different backgrounds. We are, every one of us, we know how we express respect for the elderly from wherever we come. The Yoruba man with Dobale, they will lie down, flat. Now, the fact that we also worship God by lying down does not mean that the Yoruba man that is greeting the elder by lying down is giving worship. Because we also pray to God standing. So we don't begin to make a doctrine of that. Now, whatever way you express your respect for the elderly, there is nothing wrong with it. A lot of people, to call your elderly one, the elderly, a woman that is as old as your mother, sister, you don't have Holy Ghost. And you have a very bad background. You were not brought up properly. Now, in America, now what constitutes disrespect to us here is not disrespect to them. Because they can call their father high worker. The son will call the father high worker. And he will say high peace. Hi, Nene. You know. So, it's here in Africa that we have so many of these things. So, in America, you will not say it's disrespect. That's why the Africans who marry over there, they can't cope with it. When their children grow up in that society, they try to bring them home to learn some African values of showing respect. So it's nothing like you are possessed there. Don't mind that. Now him they possess with a spirit of disrespect. God bless you.
Yesterday, for my life prayer, I just went to somewhere to pray. The preacher was saying yesterday that we don't need to pray for long life. We need to pray for eternal life. That anybody that pray for long life is in witchcraft. And me particularly, I pray for long life because I want to live more than 100 years.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know which. There's a psalm. There is a psalm. I hope I remember that psalm. I don't know how that person will read this psalm. I think it is Psalm 21 is the one I'm referring to. Verse 4. Verse 3 and verse 4. Of course, Psalm 91 is there too. Verse 3, the prayer goes like this. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He said, he asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him even length of days, forever and ever. That's the scripture I'm looking for. So, it is not wrong to ask for length of days, for long life. Long life is a blessing from God. Praise God. Maybe that person has entered a covenant to live a short life. So he knows he's not going to live long. Praise the Lord. And it is what you want that God will give you. If you want long life, God will give you long life. If you want short life, God will give you short life. So please don't let anybody teach that type of thing. I don't know. Maybe you did not understand the person, but if that is what he said, he is wrong. Praise God. I don't know. I think we have better things to preach than that. Well, I don't know why people cause confusion in Christianity. Okay, I think I've finished with you.
No, sir. Remember the last question.
The last question.
I have a problem with a minister. The minister left here, but he's not ordained minister. He just said all these ministers are coming up. The minister told me that, because why I asked this question is because of 3 weeks ago, somebody asked the question. That's why I find out that it's not only Bride Assembly that have swimming pool, that even other churches have swimming pool. The minister asked me that, why is it Bride Assembly is having swimming pool to baptize? I told the minister on my own, because I consider people. I said, look at the Molue. Every Tuesday, these people will chatter Molue. How much are they making? 20 naira for offering, chattering Molue. I said, whether in Shai Ocean or what, everything is what, all, so far they're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I know. You know, he started making some argument, I just, whenever I see that minister, I am not.
He's no more here.
Yeah, he's no more here.
So, I don't know what you want me to say. We don't have swimming pool. We have baptismal pool. So maybe he has seen swimming pool. So I was thinking that this is swimming pool. That place is dedicated solely for baptism. It's a baptismal pool. And if he is if he's an intermediate believer, we have a prophet to this age, William Branham, that built their own church, and at the altar by the side there, there was a pool there, so that they can hold baptismal service. So whenever they want to baptize people, it is a service. Everybody sees them being baptized after they close that place. And many churches have it. It is because they don't understand the meaning of baptism. Baptism is burial. Is burial. You die and you are buried. That is it. And concerning burial, there is no designated place that you must bury here. You can bury anywhere you choose to bury. Some people even bury in their bedroom. Some people bury in front of their house. Some at the back of their house. Some go to a cemetery to bury. Wherever, the important thing is he must be buried. Every dead man or woman must be buried. It's because they don't have this knowledge. That's why they are bothering themselves about which type of water you will go and, those of us who evangelize. I had a prison ministry some years back, and I was visiting prisons all around the country and the West African coast. And I was preaching and they were believing. And only at, I think Okigwe or so, at Okigwe prison there, that they allowed me to carry prisoners to the river that was near and brought them back. Who believed and baptized them. But the rest, for security reasons, they will not release the prisoners. So I took permission and I built baptismal pools in many of them. So when they believe, we go there, we fill that place with water and we bury them there. And they are baptized. Leave those who want to find fault up and down and just some legalists, critics. God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Brother Chichioke from nowhere, everywhere in the world, Igbo people did there. Nowhere. Chichioke, nowhere. Pastor, please, what relation or is there any connection between Daniel 8:14, the 2,300 days of Daniel have with Daniel 9:24-27? And the 70 weeks of Daniel, please throw more light. Praise God. Get that question. Daniel 70 weeks. Okay. Daniel 8:14, what does it say? Praise God. Verse 14, Daniel 8. Amen. To get the proper picture, you have to read it from verse 13. Then I had one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. There is no link. Daniel 70 weeks is the period given for the divine agenda that God gave Daniel and stated the time from which you will begin to count 70 weeks, and he stated the six things that shall come, that shall be fulfilled within the 70 weeks period. And we saw that the 70 weeks period is the 70 weeks of years. So it's 70 times 7. 1 week is 7 years. And he gave a divine agenda there. What Daniel saw is a different thing entirely. I'm trying to compress this because we have preached this before. Please get the messages we preach. We tie to the divine agenda. And then you see how God, his program, right from the Garden of Eden until we reach the eternal age. After the 1,000 years reign, after the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, and how we now enter the great eternal age. All the whole agenda, and where we fit in, and where we are now in that agenda. Please get that tape, and then we can be detailed there when you go through it. Thank you very much.